Everybody, and welcome to the Pittens Podcast. Sorry about that little hiccup for those of you on the stream. We had to recenter some things. My name is Angelo. This is episode 171. I'm joined this week by Will.
Yo, what is up, internets?
And unfortunately, we will not be joined tonight by Mike. He unfortunately was in a four-car accident earlier today, and he's doing okay. He's going to be all right. I saw him at the hospital. But, you know, you can't expect him to come down and do a podcast.
Pretty serious accident. I got to see it, actually. He's a pretty lucky dude to get out of it with only scrapes and bruises.
You said you didn't even recognize the car. Please, you know, get at him at Huntmaster Mike and, you know, send him your best well wishes.
Yeah, this should be the week that you send Mike stuff. For sure.
Please give your best well wishes and everything. He's going to be okay in the log run. It's just, you know... He got pretty fucked up. I mean, it was a fucked up wreck. That's the best way of putting it. Yeah. Anyway, this is a magic podcast, so we are going to get into magic. We had SCG Worcester, whatever. I'm going to just move that for you a little bit. That'll work. And day one, we had 772 players for a legacy event.
That's great. That's a great number.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
You got to love the Northeast.
But their cutoff is old school cutoff. For GPs, 21 points. Wow. So that only brings us 65 back for day two. So I got to do percentages again. Miracles was the top represented deck for day two with 7 copies at 10.76%.
That's pretty low.
Colorless Eldrazi had 6 copies and that was 9.23%.
That does make sense. It actually fits pretty well against Miracles. It kind of slows their game plan down and is functional through the counterbalance lock.
Yeah, it really is. Counterbalance can't do nothing to a 10.
Right.
You gotta have a hard counter
Even a 5.
Yeah, it's really hard.
That's probably it. Like, Thought Not, man, they gotta have a Jace on top, which is like a 2 outer.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, the deck is positioned really well against it, actually.
Yeah, it very much is. And that was 9.23% with 6 copies. Lands and Infect, 5 copies each.
Wow, that's a lot of lands decks.
7.69%. And then Elves and Reanimator, 4 copies each.
Love it.
6.15%. So
people brought their Storm combo hate for this weekend.
Fairly diverse field. I mean, when you really think about it.
It is. No, these are nice low numbers and, you know, our top percentage of the decks is only about 40 decks right now, what it looks like for my quick count. So, you know, that's pretty good. That's like 20 unknowns there. So
yeah, I think it's actually a little more than that, to be honest with you. We're like 33.
Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah. So like half, so the, like field half the field is undefined, more or less.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's very open.
Our top 8 was Ben Friedman. He came with 4 color Delver, and he went up against Rob Blocker, who had Goblin Prison.
Goblin Prison?
Yes. We'll talk about it.
I want to hear about this.
And Rob Blocker wins 2-1 with his Goblin Prison deck. Todd Stevens goes up with his Infect deck, goes up against Ed D'Amico and Grixis Delver.
Nice.
Ed D'Amico wins 2-0. Then we had Kevin King with lands.
Oh boy.
Versus Jonathan Morkowski, and he was on Reanimator.
Oh, that's a sweet matchup.
King wins at 2-0, actually.
Wow.
Then we have Joe Lissette with Miracles, go figure.
Go figure.
Versus Jeff Hoogland on Mono Red Sneak Attack.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like the two real big SCG names, they get paired against each other.
Yeah,
in the them's
the breaks, for sure.
So Lissette wins 2-1. Lissette loses to Kevin King 2-0. Ed D'Amico takes down Rob Blocker in the Goblin Prison deck 2-0.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, especially after, you know, he beats the 4-color Delver deck.
Like, how cool would it have been to see Goblin Prison versus Mono Red sneak attack in the finals?
That would have been different.
That's different, no doubt.
Yeah, and Ed D'Amico wins it 2-1 with Grixis Delver.
Sweet.
Over Kevin King. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, I love me some Cabal Therapies.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, it's just such a fun deck.
What, you're doing something cool? Nuh-uh, no, you're not.
No. Hmm. So his list.
I guess he does not even have
does
them.
Does not even have them.
Not even in the, there they are.
They're four they're in the side. Yeah. You know, he's running four Deathrite, four Delver, obviously.
Right.
Four Pyromancer, okay. Grim Lavamancer.
Cool. 13 creatures.
Yeah, 13 creatures. You got Brainstorm Daze, a Fire and Ice, Force of Will, Lightning Bolt, Stifle, Taxian Probes, and Ponders.
Gotta love that Fire Ice, that one of.
Yeah,
so
just one
spicy.
Of. It goes 4-4-1-4-4-4-4-4.
Right. Yeah, his two flex spots are like the Lavamancer and the Fire Ice. That's yeah. So sweet. 18 lands, four of them are wastelands. Everything else is just kind of producing mana.
Yeah. And fetching.
Right, yeah.
Fetching sure, or producing. Sure. Right. I mean, and then you have the sideboard with a Null Rod, which is, you know.
Oh my goodness. Null Rod is just the best.
Yeah, it's becoming pretty staple.
Mm-hmm.
Pithing Needle, two Gurmog Anglers.
Oh sure. Sometimes you just need to beat Lightning Bolts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and you're gonna fill up your graveyard.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
no doubt.
He's a solid card. An Ancient Grudge. A Fire Covenant. When's the last time you saw Fire Covenant page?
I have not ever seen this card played, actually. I can't say I've ever seen this.
Okay, so it's black, red, and one. Now I played back in the days of Ice Age, so
I have two. I mean,
this.
I've have two, but I didn't have this card.
And Fire Covenant deals X damage divided any way you choose among any number of target creatures where X is equal to the amount of life you pay.
So good.
Effects that prevent or redirect damage cannot be used
so
to counter
X,
the life.
So pay X, deal X damage, divided as you choose.
Yes.
Very, very good. So, like, this is kind of his version of,
a Pyroclasm?
no, what's the card from the, one of the EDH sets? It's like the black one that does, it's like minus toxic something or other.
Toxic deluge.
So, like, this is his toxic deluge because he obviously doesn't want to get his own tokens.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about, like with Deluge, it was there for a specific card. That's why, you know, it was so heavily played. And now that, True Name Nemesis is basically
floated out
of the format,
for sure.
It's become, you know, whatever.
I mean, like, it was also probably just the best sweeper as well.
It was, a big part of it showing up was because of True Name. Then we have two Pyroblasts as well.
Nice
we
art.
Have two Surgical Extractions. We have one Umazabla's Jitte.
Sometimes you just need to gain that life.
Well, you just win with Jitte.
You know.
Jitte on Pyromancer tokens, just win.
Pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good.
And four Cabal Therapies for, you know, fuck you.
Dude, sometimes you play against combo, and then you just rip their hand to shreds.
We have Kevin King. He was on lands. I don't know that we really need to go over this. I don't
know. It grinds, but it also makes 2020s very quickly.
I can't tell you if... I don't know the full list off of the top of my head.
This is fairly
but
standard.
I know most of it.
Yeah, fairly
I would
standard.
Say that, I mean, it's got the Punishing Fire, it's got all the other crap.
He has
the Thespian stage thing.
Mm-hmm. Everything's going on. A full four crop rotation. He's really combo-centric with this version.
Yeah. Jola sets Miracles in third. It's Miracles. Look it up.
Yep.
Goblin Prison.
Rob Blocker.
We got some creatures in this.
We sure do.
There's 24 of them.
24 goblins, man. Well, we got four Goblin Rabble Master.
Making in Legacy?
Yeah, that's what it is. You know? Well, I mean, there's probably reasons for that, I'm sure. So we have a Goblin Settler, because destroying lands is sweet.
Portal 3 Kingdom?
Yeah. two Imperial Recruiters. These are fetching key components, because we have four Magus of the Moon locking them out. Four Mog Catcher, which is a fucking Nemesis Mercenary, four mana. Like, this
yeah.
is, I have copies of this card, and oh my goodness. So, he's a four mana 2/2, right? Legacy
yeah.
power, here
just,
we come.
Just perfect.
And he says three, tap, search your library for a goblin card, put that card directly into play, and then shuffle your library. So
there's some good goblins you can get.
There are. We have, a one of Murderous Redcap, one of Siege Gang Commander. We have three Simian Spirit Guides to accelerate mana because he's not a goblin. We have a Sting Scourger when things get a little tricky, and then a one of Kiki Jiki Mirror Breaker and a one of Pia and Kieran Nalar.
So he can use the Mog Catcher to go get the red cap and the Kiki Jiki and go off.
How is he untapped?
Just wait a turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's like just a value Kiki Jiki to make a bunch
yeah.
of tokens.
I mean, it's not like a win all the time, but like yeah. you can't, the combo's there. Murderous Redcap, Kiki Jiki.
Yeah, Murderous Redcap, Kiki Jiki, and then you have Siege Gang Commander and like Imperial, or like, Goblin Settler.
Yeah.
Just getting chained over and over again. So it's definitely value Kiki Jiki, but he has more going on than just the creatures,
yeah.
Angelo. What are the non-creature spells?
Well, we have 20 lands. 10 of them are just mountains.
Yep.
We're not fucking around. We're just right. going
mountains. Dude, we got Megas of the Moon in the deck. We love mountains.
Yes. We're going to play 2 Cavern Assaults, and we're going to choose Goblin.
Probably Goblin or, like, what's Megas? He's Wizard? We have Mercenary as an answer.
I think you're going to say Human.
Yeah, human is probably the next one.
Yeah, and then you have 4 City of Traders, 4 Ancient Tubes.
Yeah, get that's mana. All we need. Well, you know, fast mana is definitely a theme. We have the Simeon Spirit Guide, so we gotta be doing something.
Okay, so we have some spells. We have 4 Chalice.
All right, that's fast mana.
We have 3 Chrome Mox.
Well, we want to go fast.
So I expect to see, you know,
we want 3 artifacts. Mana on turn 1. Yeah. It sounds like.
We have 3 Trinisphere.
Oh, that's why we want 3 mana on turn 1.
I think that's why we want it. There's the prism.
There it is.
We have 4 Blood Moon.
Fuck.
And 2 Jitteh, because we explained this on the last
time. Yeah, in any kind of creature attrition fight, Jitteh is
just going
to win it, inevitably.
The sideboard is packed with 3 Ensnaring Bridges.
Yeah,
we don't want nothing big running over.
The Eldrazi are a thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we gotta get time so we can generate token advantage and go wide on them.
Yeah. we have a Singleton, Phyrexian Revoker.
Sweet. I mean, he's our Pithing Needle.
Yeah, we have a Goblin Sharpshooter.
Love Goblin Sharpshooter. this guy makes me think that we can do something more infinite with Kiki Jiki. And so, like, if we, there's gotta be some way we can do it with a bunch of untaps. I have no idea.
Well,
I'm not that smart.
When a creature dies,
untap this dude.
Untap. Is there any way we can sacrifice short of Simeon Spirit Guide? Siege Gang Commander.
Yeah, exactly, right.
But he costs 2 mana to do that.
Yeah, I guess not.
Maybe, Tuck Tuck Scrapper?
Sweet. I mean, if we're getting him into play for free, we might as well.
4 Leyline of the Void, obviously.
Yeah, Reanimator and Dredge. These are things.
2 Sudden Shock.
Sudden Shock is just an amazing card.
It really is. I mean, 2 damage for 2 mana doesn't sound great, but when you know it's not getting countered.
Split second. Yeah. Like, get your Pyromancer out of here.
And we have we have 3 Fiery Confluence to kind of close everything up.
Just one of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, choose 3. You may choose the same mode more than once.
Yeah, man. I like this so card good. A lot. Yeah. Just 6 your opponent.
Just
hit him.
Just 6 him. Fuck it. So, I mean, that's a cool deck. It's something a little different.
Very different, really. Thank you very much, Rob Blocker, for piloting that deck to such success.
Then again, Ben Friedman was on 4 Color Delver. We also have an Infect. Again, decks we don't need to go over.
Right.
We have Mono Red Sneak Attack from Jeff Hoogland. And regardless of what you personally feel about Jeff Hoogland, he does brew.
He does brew.
And that's worth saying.
And when he gets his brew, he proclaims it from the mountaintops, and then he stays on it for a long time until he masters it. So really, aside from, you know, him being Jeff Hoogland, you gotta expect him as a magic player, or respect him as a magic player.
Yeah, you have to absolutely respect him as a magic player. He's a fine magic player. Mm-hmm. So his sneak attack deck, I mean, it's mono red, so we're gonna get Inferno Titans. We have 2 of those.
Yeah, that's clearly a legacy power level card yet again. snap fucking Inferno Titan.
Right, we have 4 Simeon Spirit Guides.
Yeah, that card, I guess, is really good.
I mean, we are playing sneak attack.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, fast red mana is what we're doing. That's the name of the game.
We have 2 World Spine Worm.
Now that's a sneak attack target,
buddy.
That's
not red.
That's a sneak attack guy, for sure.
2 Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn.
Well, yeah, sneak attack him. I mean, get him.
Duh. 2 Godo, Bandit Warlord.
This is actually pretty cute. You Godo to get a Batter Skull, so you, like, extreme value out of your sneak attack. Pretty cool.
And 3 Gristlebrand.
Well, I mean, it's still sneak attack.
It's still sneak attack. So for mono red, we named a lot of cards that weren't red.
Yeah, that's true.
But his mana is 9 mountains, 4 tombs, 4 traders, a crystal vein.
Yeah, crystal vein is sacrificed to add 2 mana. Love this card. Mirage.
And his he has a sandstone needle.
Dude, he wants 4 fucking mana on turn 2. That's the deal. 4 mana on turn 2. That's how we do it.
Yep. What spells are we rocking, Will?
We have these 2 batter skulls that we mentioned, which are a fetch for our Godo, which is really cool.
Yeah, why not?
4 Chalice of the Void, 4 Lotus Petal, 4 Blood Moon, 4 Sneak Attack, 4 Seething Song, and 4 Through the Breach. This prison shell that's in both of these mono red decks.
Yeah.
So fast red mana plus Chalice or Blood Moon.
Yeah, no Trinisphere in this one.
Right.
But, I mean, it's...
You know what? I see Trinispheres in the sideboard.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very similar mode of attack.
Right.
It's just what... you know, how are we going to win? It would have been really interesting to see them in the final because it would have been, you know, does he get the ensnaring bridges?
Right. Ensnaring bridges is insane.
You know what I mean?
Deck.
It's like, does Mr. Blocker get the ensnaring bridges or not? Because if he doesn't, he's going to lose.
Right.
But if he does, I don't know if Hoogland can win.
It's true. You know, no, it's true. It's an interesting matchup. And like, just thinking about it, you know, the big deck is Miracles, right?
Yeah.
So by fast mana, we get down something really big on turn one or two before they've set up. So all they really have is Force.
Yeah.
And then we attack their mana development so they can't keep up after that.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. So
it's weird though. I mean, cause Eldrazi is also,
right.
You know, that's the highest growing deck in Legacy right now.
Of course.
Everyone's going to build it because you have most of the cards. You just got to get some Thorns mm-hmm. and some other stuff. I mean, you just have them naturally if you've played for the past 5 years.
Exactly.
And so it's one of those decks that a lot of people are moving to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's weird to see somebody say, yeah, I'm going to go big creatures, but I'm staying away from the Eldrazi.
Well, I mean, you have Blood Moons.
Yeah.
Which is, and Magus of the Moon, like, there's 14 total copies of Moons in the two decks. Like, the Eldrazi deck is going to look really slow and stupid when it's all Blood Moons. They can't cast anything.
They can't cast anything
because
you have to cast for colorless. Like, it's a completely different game.
They probably have X number of wastes in the deck, but I don't know how, I mean, your outs go down significantly.
Yeah, we'll go over a deck. I don't think they actually run them. What is our sideboard though?
We have 3 Trinisphere because, you know, sometimes you just want to shut them out of the game.
Yeah, sometimes you want to lock.
2 Magus of the Moon because Moon. 2 Pyromancy, which is really spicy. Just, it's a 4 mana enchantment from Urza's Destiny.
Yeah, it's kind of the backwards gamble.
Yeah. Pay 3, discard a card at random. Pyromancy deals damage to target creature or player equal to the CMC of the discarded card.
Yeah, instead of you going and getting the card.
Okay, so this is how you beat Bridge.
Yes.
You just, this is the one. Chuck. Okay, Chuck. Well, I throw Emrakul at you, right?
That's 15. Okay.
2 Pyrostatic Pillar, which is insane against all the Storm decks and all that stuff.
Storm decks.
Elves, anything like that.
The Young Peasy decks.
Oh, yeah,
the
for
Delver
sure.
decks. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they're all rocking 2 damage, you know?
Right.
It's like, oh, damn, 2 damage, everything's dead.
Exactly. Well, I mean, 2 damage to players, so then you just really only have to sneak attack them once to kill them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
1 of Boil, because it's Legacy and we fucking hate Islands. 2 Sudden Shock, 1 Pyroclasm, and then 2 Shattering Spree. So this is actually a really, really great sideboard now that I'm looking at it. For just being red, like, he has, cards for every aspect of the format, lots and lots of just hard hate. And the Pyromancy is really a great, clever way to beat the sideboard tech that's great against him.
Yeah, it's really weird because you look at it and you go, all right, well, this deck doesn't look nothing really overly special with the main board. You're just like, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you look at the sideboard, you can see he put in some play
to
make this deck really, really work. I don't think that, you know, this is something I'm going to pick up tomorrow and just go rock a Legacy GP with.
No,
like, I think it's something you really got to play.
Which is
you need to know what your sideboard slot movement is.
So true too, and it's kind of a bummer because these are the kind of decks that people are attracted to who don't put a lot of work into formats, and they think, oh, I can just go all in and do it, but in reality, it's a very difficult way to play Magic.
It really is. So. I'm looking at our top 32, and the first colorless Eldrazi that showed up was 24th. They do run a singleton waste.
Right, and no fetches at all.
No fetches whatsoever, so like,
I mean, Blood Moon is insane right now.
Blood Moon is really good.
Yeah, it's real good.
In every format, it's just absurd. Mm-hmm. But you can see what I mean, like, I mean, when you look at this deck, you have all the cards.
Yeah, you do.
This is not a deck that, you know.
Yeah, as long as you didn't get rid of your Reality Shapers and your other one.
Your Phyrexian Mechamorph.
Your Thought Knotseers.
Yeah.
You know,
you might not have Thorns on it, you know, depending on how long you've played.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of them, and I'm glad this deck came out.
Yeah, Chalice is the only really tough one to get, and then the lands.
Wastelands.
City of Traders. That one's tough.
Yeah.
That one's tough to get.
But I mean, for the most part, it's a fairly straightforward deck. So last week I made a promise on this show, and because we're talking Legacy, we can't overlook it as much as some of us might want to. And I'm glad that I said we'd do it this week and not last week because something happened the following day. All right. So let's start with just saying that, there's been a few people out there buying out reserve list cards to create artificial spikes. Now, I don't know if they're putting them back into the market right away after the spike or if they're holding them. If they're holding them, I feel a little less crazy about it.
Yeah. Producing a spike and then selling them directly off is pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, but it's something that can be done in Legacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, no question about it.
When you're talking about reserve list.
Okay, but then Wednesday, I wake up to find this. Martin Skrilli. Most people will know him as a head fund manager, pharmaceutical executive for Restafin and, Turing Pharma.
Oh, wow.
He's notoriously known for raising the price of his anti-parasitic drug, Daraprim, from 5,553% or $13.50 a pill to $750 a pill. He's currently facing federal charges for securities fraud. He decided he wanted to join the MTG game.
He sees a trading outlet with no,
it's an untraceable.
Right.
Asset.
And there's no overwatch. There's no kind of oversight.
So he started buying out the most expensive cards in Magic. Like in one day he had 5 black loads.
Wow.
And with him going through all this crap legally, this is a safe investment for him that if he goes to jail,
right.
When he gets out, he can turn this back around to restart his fortune.
Right.
This is not good for the game, mainly because the first line I said was head fund manager.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, this dude is a complete and total jackass, but if hedge fund managers start getting in on the restricted list.
Forget about it.
They
have infinite money.
Yeah, infinite. Like quite infinite.
Like making it their, let's not have that talk.
That's what we're here to do. And you know, like this is bad, for all vintage legacy format, you know, eternal formats. Like this is the type of thing that legitimately can. And I mean, you hear the hyperbole all the time when you talk to Magic players. You say, the game's going to die. Right. This is going to kill the format. This might actually do it because they will buy all the cards.
if they buy all the cards and create a marketplace where they pick a price that Eternal Magic players decide is too much to pay,
yes.
Then you're going to see people offing Eternal collections left and right.
And who's going to buy them?
And who is going to buy
them? The hedge fund managers are going to be the ones
to
buy
them. So, you know, this is a real problem in it. And if left unchecked, it could definitely cause severe problems. If this guy's willing to mark up 5,000, 5,500%.
5,553% markup on a drug, an anti-parasitic. So like, you go to another country. Something swims up your urethra.
Yeah.
And you need this drug to save your life. It's also used, for pregnant mothers to help keep parasites down and for health of baby. If you're willing to mark up a drug from $13 a pill, which is already very expensive for a pill, to $750 a pill. And his reasoning behind it is, and this was his reasoning, we are going to put the extra money into further research to create more drugs. However, when I said he's facing securities fraud, it's because no money was going to that.
Right.
He's just like, look, you can die. I'm going to get rich.
Yeah.
And these are not the type of people we need in this game.
No, they're really not. So, you know, to have this guy who has literally, I mean, money, he could buy up percentages of the entire Magic stock.
Yes.
You're talking about a guy who could buy 10% of every Magic card ever made.
Yes.
You know, if he wanted to. Easily, I'm sure.
Yeah.
On
a Tuesday, he can just.
That's a very scary thing, and then he can give it to someone and have it go sit in a safe deposit box
for 20 years.
For 20 years,
and then decide to collect.
And I mean, that's a real problem.
Yeah, and I mean, and people want to say, okay, this is kind of what happened during the comic books era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big comic crash. What happened was you started getting people outside of the comic world, you know, hedge fund managers and people like that, starting to invest in the comic books.
To speculate.
Here's the thing. The old comic books, they still was worth a ton of money.
Yeah.
What happened was the comic book companies decided to try and cash in on it. So they started doing mass reprints. Their print runs started getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And as long as Wizards doesn't fall into that, I don't think we have to worry about the game crashing the way comics did. I think that that right. might be an overreaction by
but
a lot
to
of
have,
people.
To have, say, Vintage
yeah.
crash out and become even more exclusive than it already is, to
that's
make
a
it
problem.
So that your buy-in for playing a Vintage deck is $1 million is...
Not good.
It's not good.
No. And this leads to, you know, one of the solutions that people have been coming up with is it's time for the reserve list to go. I don't know that I'm going to defend the reserve list anymore, and I've been steadfast defending it for years, but I think that that falls into what I just said about reprinting old things over and over again helped create the burst of the comic bubble. This is tough financial crap that we're talking about here that is probably over both of our heads a little bit.
Oh, no doubt. I'm not an economist, you know.
Yeah. So like
it seems like there would be a great outcry from the secondary magic community, the Star City Games of the
yeah.
world, the magic retailers, if they all of a sudden the reserve list, the cards are going to bottom out for a while, and
yeah,
unless it's handled extremely critically carefully.
Which, how do you do that?
Well, you make it in an exclusive set, a reserve masters.
Yeah, it had to be an extremely low print run.
And it's a low print run, and it's a $25 pack. You know, maybe even a $40 pack MSRP, so that those guys can make up for the loss that they are going to incur on their backstock inventories. I mean, imagine all of these vendors that specialize in vintage Magic cards.
Yeah.
These guys who just have like grinded dual lands for years, and yes, they have made it so that those cards are more collectible than I can afford to at this
yeah.
point in time. And we're talking about not even doubling or tripling their value, but per multiplying their value by 100 times.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been in the game long enough, you've run into guys who they pull out a binder from their backpack and it's completely full and it's nothing but dual lands.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's just like a binder with 50 grand in it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just like, yeah, I got, you know, 75 Taigas here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, you know you're going to use 4, dude.
Yeah, I get that. And, but I want to have my, you know, it's weird.
It's what they do. And before I didn't think that was a great thing. But I at least understood it and kind of loosely respected it. But when people from outside the game, hedge
right.
fund managers start right. getting into it, like we have to keep our eyes on this. This is something that isn't, not something that we need to watch go away. If it's just Skrilly, I think we'll be okay. If we get 3 or 4 hedge fund managers in here, and that's all we need.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Each can drop $1 million into this game,
like
and they just fucking screw this game.
$1 million is probably on the low side of things of what those guys. I mean, these guys are making tens of millions of dollars a year,
a day.
Know? Yeah, so
I mean, but if each
yeah,
one,
with the proper spikes for
yeah.
sure, and then they just float all that stuff that's not real money, and they
yeah.
just that's again. let me check my. I got my. I just gotta reduce the heart rate.
Yeah, it's a weird, tough one. Keep your eyes out for other hedge fund managers getting into this, because this could be very problematic to your everyday player.
Well,
Standard might become the only format you'll be able to play.
I don't think that you can buy out Modern.
I think the right pockets can. There's still only so many cards, but they can reprint those cards.
Right, they can reprint those cards infinitely, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So basically it's going
to
be...
But in those situations, they can buy out to create artificial spikes, where they
sure.
know they're going to make
sure.
it spike,
sure.
and then they're going to sell and make
oh,
the profit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Like, this is something they easily can do,
well,
because they know Goblin Guide hasn't been printed in the last 2 Modern Master sets, so they buy every Goblin Guide tomorrow that's on the market. And then
yeah,
just sell them back over the next 5 days.
So with Goblin Guide, yeah, and they will do that for
yes.
sure. But the thing about that is that's only a very temporary bubble, because there are enough copies of Goblin Guide out there
yeah,
in circulation.
Absolutely.
You know?
I'm not saying, but this is the type of thing that they can do, and they
right.
create these artificial bubbles, and on Tuesday you're going to look and go, holy crap, my Goblin Guides are worth $250.
Right.
And then on Friday you're going to go to your store for Friday Night Magic, and they're going to be like, no, they sunk back down to $20.
Yeah, exactly.
Because these dudes created this bubble, and this happens. I mean, the liquidity inside of markets is insane, and once you start throwing large amounts of money at it, especially when it is
you're talking about in
a market that has a finite number,
right? a capped market, a resource-driven market, because mm-hmm. there are certain numbers, and you're dealing with people who essentially have limitless funds. So people who, if they wanted to, could buy out massive portions of it, you know, 30% at a time if they wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, not hard for them.
I don't know how many actual dual lands there are, but if you throw $20 million out there, I bet you could get
a
chunk of them.
You know? I bet you could get a lot of them.
So, and that's really scary to think about. It's kind of flattering in some ways also to think that Magic is that big that all of a sudden now, like, the truly evil people in the world
are
starting to take notice of it.
I mean, you don't get much more evil than Martin Shkreli.
I would very much hope that and I know this is really minor on things. I really hope he plays the game.
No, I asked him.
Okay,
because he was on Twitter asking for help. Twitter and Reddit and Tumblr and that.
Oh boy.
So it's like, okay, question one: are you playing? If you're playing, I'm more than happy to help.
Right.
It's like, maybe he said, you know, the next tournament he's going to go to, it's going to be him, Donald Trump, and Kanye West, his buddies, they're going to go spike a tournament. And it's like, well, I hope you guys don't show up to a standard tournament after buying Lotuses, because you're going to be very upset. Tournament Magic, I don't care what cards you own. Tournament Magic, you're not going to win at if you don't put in the practice.
You're not, that's not how it works. No.
But that's okay. I'd love to see those three at a
tournament. I would love to pair against Donald Trump round one of a vintage tournament.
Dude, me against Kanye West, I'd love it.
Yeah.
I think... I'd rather play Kanye West than a 2-year-old child. if the child has been raised around Magic cards.
Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely something to think about. Hopefully, if it does become a problem all right. So let's imagine a situation where Wizards, I'm sure this is highly illegal.
But probably.
They let out a memo to their dudes or what. I guess they can't do that. So they would have to give insider information. But let's say that these hedge fund investors buy up a significant enough portion of the reserve list fund so that they now are the sole brokers and that the Star City Games of the world no longer have inventory. If those game stores then were to lobby Wizards of the Coast, right? We can do this legally.
Yeah.
To say, look, there is literally no more of this available. Can you please make some kind of set that is available that is going to reprint a X number of reserve list cards? And at that point in time, you just totally fuck the hedge funds managers and they're the ones who lose all the money.
Here's the question though. If you're going to do something like that, how many years in advance must you announce said set? I would think at least two, because at that point, if they've come and lobbied to you and you made that decision, you almost have to give some sort of warning there. At least a year. So let's say a year, minimum. All okay. Right. Cause you know, we know what's coming out for the next year now, right? So year minimum, that's a year that they're going to have to offload all those cards. And then those cards are back in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like what Evil Mono says.
That's
in our Twitch.
What he says
that Vintage and Legacy could become MTGO only formats. Well, if you're going to do that, get on them now, because MTGO is susceptible to the same,
yep,
you know, same ideas as well.
Only thing is,
they can reprint them.
They
can
reprint everything multiple times.
But yeah, they're not going to, it's going to happen for 6 months and a year at a time that they can buy out the market, and then they can just wait, buy it out again, create their scarcity, sell it off, and do this multiple times, you know?
Yeah, over and over again. That's the strange thing. Like, they could even play the standard game if they wanted to.
Yeah.
They have money like that.
Once you have enough money, you can just literally make enough money off of microtransactions, fucking 10 cents at a time, over and over again, just...
If you buy up 1 million copies of Siege Rhino
at
the beginning of the Obzon season, okay.
Right.
When they were $3. And then you sold them at $3.40.
You
that doesn't seem like much.
A ton of money.
But when you're talking about 1 million copies of it, that's a ton of money.
400
and
grand,
that's going to create a bit larger spike than 40 cents anyway. It'll probably make it go to $4.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the average might have been, you know, 50, 60 cent a card when he's all said and done selling them all.
That's pretty crazy.
That's real. That's, I mean.
It's pretty scary to think that billionaires might control the flow of Magic cards, but I hope that it's not real. I hope that we're just scaring ourselves.
It's just one person who's in legal trouble and he's looking for an asset that can't be tracked. That's what I'm hoping.
If they're going to do that though, there's just no way that they can't, like, how can it not be tracked? It can obviously be tracked.
No, the thing is, like, okay, if I own a Black Lotus, all right,
mm-hmm.
I own a Black Lotus. As far as the IRS is concerned, that's a piece of cardboard. There's no intrinsic value on the U.S. markets for that piece of cardboard.
Okay.
So it is an asset that is kind of untrackable. And then I can go sell it anywhere.
I would just think that some lawyer is going to would find a way to make that null and void.
That makes going to GPs null and void. When you go to a GP and sell $500 worth of cards, then you're going to have to start filling out tax forms.
Yeah.
You don't do that now.
Right.
They just pull out cash and they hand it to you.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So
you only fill out tax forms when you win money in the events.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is one of those things where it's just like, well, if they start doing that, there's going to be tax forms written up at every GP.
Yeah,
and it's going to create
more
of an
issue. Needs that.
Nope. This is more of a problem than I think everyone really wants to get into. But it could just be one guy trying to save his ass before he goes to jail.
Yeah, but how long before his buddies figure it out?
That's the problem. Right. His buddies are going to find out.
I hope that this does not become a problem, and I hope that Wizards is working on a solution to the problem now.
So do I. This is something that would drive me away from the game. Not joking.
Dude, shit, man. Oh, like on purely on my levels of principle what I believe in about the world that is larger than myself and the world that is larger than the game of Magic. Like that is the stuff that I thought only happened in like legends and folklore where people are literally that evil.
Yeah, no.
I couldn't like associate with that in real life. That would just be insane.
It would be. On that somber note, we are going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll return in a moment. We've talked a million times at this point about Titan Game Shop. We all know that it's a great store and a even better website. All you have to do is go to TitanGameShop.com. That's TaiTan Gameshop.com. And they will be happy to send out anything you could possibly need in the game of Magic the Gathering. Also, if you do decide to do that, please let them know that the Pit Imp sent you. Just shoot them a quick note. But more importantly, we have Eldritch Moons coming out, and obviously there's going to be a pre-release. And as in past times, they stream the pre-release, and I commentate on it. So join us July 16th at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/TitanGameShop, and we will be right there, and you can feel free to join us and watch our stream and get a little bit of knowledge of maybe what's good in the format and what isn't before you go do your own, especially if you live on the West Coast or you don't plan on doing it till an afternoon pre-release. But if you're one of the players who are coming, they got a good deal for you. If you were to bring two new players to the tournament, you get a free pack of Eternal Masters. I think that's pretty cool. Like, here's a $15 treat just for bringing two people in. Really not going to do much better than that. Like I said, they support us great, and they support the community. And this is just another example of them supporting the community. So remember, TaiTanGameShop.com, T-A-I-T-A-N, GameShop.com. Okay, we are back. So we have a new set coming out, Eldritch Moon.
Yes, that is correct.
We have a very strange tradition on this show.
I don't know that, I mean, I wouldn't call it strange.
I mean, it's weird. I don't see more people doing this.
Other people don't do this?
No, not the way we do.
Oh, really?
People usually just go over the cards and say what they think. They don't like actually make picks. We kind of draft the cards.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize. I thought we were just kind of.
So, this is kind of our thing.
See, it's because, you know, Ryan does this on his show.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, he's former.
Well, yeah. He's still of the imp.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Wow. I didn't realize.
Yeah. This is kind of our thing. So we choose the best of, and we're not right on any of these ever.
But, you know, I will say that.
We've hit a couple.
Each of us have hit a couple from time to time, for sure. Each of us have hit.
And when they're blatantly obvious, like when Thoughtseize came out, and it was like, best legacy card, Thoughtseize.
Right, right. But like, I mean, there were definitely ones like, you know, Mike called Den Protector, which is a big deal, and like, I called the one red card that just blew up at the Pro Tour.
Yeah, I remember I called Boonsader, and Shaheen gave me shit.
Yeah.
And then it was in like every green deck. For 2 years.
Oh, dude. Yeah, Boon. Say they're like way
they're just
back
there,
when.
Man. So we're gonna start with best standard card, and when the ones that Mike did choices for, and it looks like he added a couple from home. We will go ahead and we will go over his choices as well. Will, I'm going to give you the first choice here for best standard.
Oh boy. Well, I talked a lot about this card last week.
I like this card.
So the card is Deploy the Gatewatch for white sorcery. Look at the top 7 cards of your library, put up to 2 planeswalker cards from among them onto the battlefield, put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So the idea is that I'm playing at least 3 color super friends, and I have probably 14 or more planeswalkers in my deck.
And at least 4 different types.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just playing a Mardu deck, you have access to at the minimum requisite 4 types, and you can get crazy better than that too.
Yep.
So like, the mana discount you can get on this card and the amount of just card advantage that this can generate over, the material advantage this can generate over the course of several tickings of planeswalkers, like, it is insane. You know, you can get 12 mana worth of walkers for 1 card.
Yeah.
And like, the Super Friends deck is really good. I'm like, yeah. like, we're just looking at the most powerful single cards.
Yep.
In the format. And putting them into play for free.
Yeah, it's funny because I've heard people say, you know, when are these planeswalkers good? As planeswalker type decks. And, you know, realistically, since the original Super Friends deck, we haven't had a deck where it's just like, yeah, I'm just going to beat you flat out with planeswalkers.
There was
this is the type of card that makes that more than possible.
There was a Jund list that was pretty close to that for a little
close.
While.
Close. It was right. Close. Yeah.
But it had bonfires though.
Yeah. Had bonfires and it had Huntmaster and Olivia.
Right.
Everything else was planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of card, though, that
makes
can make
that happen.
Just go, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I have 5 planeswalkers in play, brah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Tick up, tick up, tick up, tick up. Like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, like, I already have a Gideon on the board. Oh, look, that's an Obnixilus and a fucking Sorin.
Yeah.
I think I'm good.
I think I got this. You know?
I think I'll be fine.
And the mana's good enough with Oath of Nyssa and the dual lands that we have available in the format that you could go all 5 if you really wanted to.
Absolutely could. Should I ban Mike?
I would.
So I think I just made him a administrator. I'm not sure.
Good.
Yes.
He should be a mod.
Okay. So that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, like not going to be a 4 of even in the list where it's good.
Get 2-3 max.
If a 2 or if people are playing 3 copies of this card.
The deck's really good.
Yeah.
I think 2 is going to be where it's going to settle
right.
at, but like, I think 2, when they play this card, whoever is sitting across, alright, look, if I'm playing you, you play this card, I'm scared.
Like
I don't want to see you rip 2 off
dude,
of that
those,
7.
Dude, those 7 that they're looking at,
it's just so scary.
Man.
So freaking scary, like, yeah. Just beyond good, scary. Scary. I'm just going to say scary. Yeah. So, my card is Spell Queller.
I love this card.
It's 1 white and a blue for a 2/3 flash flying creature. Okay, that's playable.
It is? I played that deck.
Yeah, that's playable. Okay, so let's add some more stuff to that. When Spell Queller enters the battlefield, exile target spell with converted mana cost 4 or less. What?
Wow.
That hits cryptics.
That hits everything. I mean, that hits Siege Rhinos.
Yeah.
That's like, you're talking modern there.
When Spell Queller leaves the battlefield, the exile cards.
Dude, you
owner
are talking modern
may
there.
Cast that card without paying.
Oh,
its
yeah, whatever.
Cost.
They get it back.
Yeah, you can have your counter back now that my thing's dead.
It's pretty sweet.
You know, that's just a hard counter in that sense.
I looked at this card and I got very excited.
Dude, this is Reflector Mage. I mean, this is going in the same deck with Reflector Mage.
If you wanted to, yeah.
I think there is a blue-white deck in Standard now. That is based off of this card and Reflector Mage.
Look, I played the blue-red Flash variant.
Yes.
And there was a blue-white Flash variant also, and like, it might not even need Reflector Mage. That card is great and fine, and I'm sure you like it, but like, dude, this thing hits Coco.
This thing's nuts! Like,
and the idea that you're going to be an all-Flash deck because of Rattle Chains and this.
Yeah.
There are quite a few spirits that are reasonably playable now.
Yeah.
So like, you could definitely be just the Flash deck where you're the blue counter tempo deck, like permission, tempo, flying. You interact with them on every level and they interact with you on none. That's a great way to play Magic.
And the way this is read, okay, it's when it enters the battlefield, exile target spell with converted mana cost 4 or less.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you're right.
But you can loop this to where it never comes back by getting rid of your creature
immediately.
Yeah, so
if I was to put this
on the stack
and then displace her it.
Yeah.
Goodbye. I think that's how it works.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's sick.
That's really bad.
So you can so, scholar effect.
So really, what's going to happen is that the Coco list is going to put this in it.
It's very possible.
That's where we're going to go.
That's where we're going to go immediately.
Because it already has the reflector mage.
Yeah.
And it already has the displacer.
Yes.
And this is a fine. This is like, this is such a great card for that deck too. I mean, it's a shame that it's in Bant.
Yeah. But that's the immediate. That's only for 6 months.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then after that, the blue Flash Flyers deck, the blue white Flash Flyers deck is like one of the starting contenders.
Yeah, I would think that. I think that this card is going to see play the entire time it is in standard.
I agree with you completely.
No questions
asked. I'm glad you like it because my fucking pants got really tight when I saw that card.
Yeah, I was all over it immediately. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so Mike cheated. Yep. He picked two cards for one. So we're just going to go over the one he picked. And that was Brazella, Voice of the Nightmares.
Well, I'd love to cast that.
I would too, but it has no casting cost.
Oh, right.
Must be free.
it looks a lot like Genova.
Yeah, it does.
Like if Genova had two heads instead of no heads.
Yeah, it would be Genova. So this is the melded card that happens between Gisella and Bruna.
Right.
9/10. Legendary creature, flying, first strike, vigilance, lifelink. Your opponents can't cast spells with converted mana cost 3 or less.
Well, I can't stasis snare this.
No.
It's not indestructible, though.
It's not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how you're dealing 10 damage to it.
I'm gonna fucking Doomblade it.
Can't.
For 5 mana.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think I want Bruna in my deck. So, I don't... Oh, he just picked Gisella herself.
Oh, okay. He just picked Gisella. Okay. I read that wrong. So Gisella is 4/3 for 4. I'll play that. Flying First Strike Lifelink.
That card's really good.
I'm fine with that.
And then you play Avacyn the turn after this.
Right?
Fuck.
And just brutal, man. The only thing is, like, this does contend with Gideon's spot.
So?
I know. It's just going to be a different deck.
So? Yeah, no, the mono white humans tops out with angels again, you know?
Yeah, multiple angels.
Yeah.
So Mike's next pick.
What's the best modern card?
Was the best modern card, and he chose a green card called Eldritch Evolution.
Oh, yes. This card is very good. It's up. So for one green, you may play a sorcery that says, as an additional cost to cast this, sacrifice a creature. You search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost X or less, where X is 2 plus the sacrificed creature's mana cost, and put that on the battlefield, then shuffle your deck. So it's natural order,
yep.
Except it has a mana clause, but it is not tied to only green creatures now.
No.
So this...
kind of a fixed natural order.
And kind of a busted one.
Kind of, yeah. Because you can get anything.
This card is very good, and I think Mike is correct that it is a powerful card. Modern may be a great place for it. I'm sure people are already brewing about it there. Legacy could see this card played also.
Yeah, Mike. I mean, it's got the right mana cost at 3.
Right. I mean, you're talking about a turn 2 play very easily.
Yeah.
And if you have a card you can cheat into play that has a ton of mana cost, you can all of a sudden get a ton of craziness that isn't necessarily tied to being green. Like, you're not tied to Progenitus as your top end. You can get
Blightsteel
Colossus, you know? It may even just be a standard deck, if you're honest. Like, that gets you to Eldrazi really fast.
Yeah, but as we've seen with Eldrazi, that's every format.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, you know, the green Eldrazi decks have been a little bit behind the scenes.
A little bit behind, yeah.
This could be, something that they need, you know, to jump from 5 to 7, you know, that's a thing, definitely. For a jump from 7 to 9. Yeah.
So cool. Your best modern card.
Yeah, I went out on a little bit of a limb here. I took a sleeper that I think has the right credentials. Take Inventory, a draft all-star, is a 1 and a blue for a 2-mana sorcery. It says, draw a card, comma, then draw cards equal to the number of cards named Take Inventory in your graveyard.
I don't think this is bad for modern, because modern doesn't have any good draw spells.
Right, so like this potentially gives you a way to grind in blue. It makes, say, let's just talk about like Grixis Delver, right?
Yes.
That's a deck that is fairly reasonable, but it does run out of steam. This is a card that it can discard early, you know, put into the play the first copy of it off of a Serum Visions, or not a Serum Visions, but the one that puts two cards off the top of the deck. I can't think of the name.
Yeah.
So you can get copies of it into the graveyard for free.
Yep.
And then you can make the first one draw you two cards. And, or you can make the first one draw you three cards. You know, like the...
When you pay two mana and draw four cards, you're going to be real happy.
I mean, I got to play the deck that cast Intuition for Accumulated Knowledge. I draw three cards. Oh, look, I found an Accumulated Knowledge. I draw four. You know, this is the kind of thing that can be broken. The fact that it's a sorcery ties it down quite a bit, but if you are looking to be maybe some kind of clockish blue deck, this is a really great card.
Very possible. For Modern, I chose Collective Effort.
That's insane.
I'm not a huge Modern player, but this card has power to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one and two white. Escalate, tap an untapped creature you control. Choose one or more. Each time you choose an extra one, you gotta tap a creature. So it's destroy target creature with power four or greater. That seems solid.
It's pretty good. Destroy Goyf.
Yep. Destroy target enchantment.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
There are definitely those.
Yeah, there are those. And put a +1/+1 counter on each creature target player controls. I'm going to typically target myself.
Yeah, no doubt. This is actually like a great card for my deck, for the Absinthe Company deck. Like,
I will tap my own creature to get +1/+1 on everything.
Tons of birds laying around all over the place. Like, creatures are a thing, and destroying enchantments is good. The versatility of the card makes it really sweet.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I picked it. Like, I don't play a bunch of Modern, so like, I'm like, this is still though. There's enough effect here and enough power that people are always going to test it
for sure. Like,
and I didn't want to pick Spellqueller for everything.
I like this card more than I like Dromoka's Command because I, you know, have been blown out by Dromoka's Command.
Yeah,
and this is like definitely fixed Dromoka's Command.
Fixed Dromoka's Command. Strange way to say that. So we're gonna move to Eternal. I decided we're not going to do Legacy and Vintage anymore. We're just going to say Eternal.
Right.
It makes more sense for everybody to just do that. And I chose, Unsubstantiate. One in a blue, return target spell or creature to its owner's hand.
Yeah, I mean, it fits in your Delver shell. It does everything you want it to do. It's a time walk.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally in the right turn. You know, and it's a fair counter. I mean, it's not going to take Daze's place. Don't get me wrong, but it is something that, you know, against a Force of Will, you're quite pleased by putting that back in your hand.
I mean, you can put spells back in the hands that they're going to tap out or be out of mana on, and a lot of times they'll just tap out for a Goyf, and you just, you know, bounce it right back. Like, if you all you want to do is pressure and tempo, that's as good as we've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really good. Mike's pick was Nefalia Academy. Which is, you know, if a spell or ability an opponent control causes you to discard a card, you may reveal that card and put it on top of your library instead of putting it anywhere else. I legitimately do think this is going to see Legacy play.
Yeah, so I can put this in my...
Any deck.
Well, but specifically I'm going to put this in my Eldrazi deck.
Yes.
And I can live through Cabal Therapies.
You can. Well, I mean, the funny thing is, like, pretty much any deck can use this. When you out of the sideboard at least, because when you do go up against like the Pox style decks or, you know, any of those decks that Thoughtseize or anything else, like, you know, okay, yeah, fine. I'm not getting rid of this. Go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's an ability.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's going to see some play. I don't know if it's going to see a lot of play, but it's going to see some play.
Interesting.
I really do think that. Well, you went with...
Yeah, I'm not overly scared of those decks in Legacy.
Neither am I, but I mean, it is something that, you know, almost every deck, like Jund, I mean, they're rocking Thoughtseize.
No, for sure.
And it's not a bad sideboard card against them.
No, it's not.
So you just chose a remake of a Legacy staple.
Yeah, it's different than the other Thalia.
It is.
So Thalia got reprinted. She's a Heretic Cathar now, which is a 3-mana human soldier with 3/2 first strike. And she says creatures and non-basic lands your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped.
So a 3/2 creature with first strike with an ice cage attached to it.
Yeah. I mean, like,
that seems good.
It seems really good. And, you know, I was actually thinking about it, you know, cause I picked it, I snap picked it. And I'm like, well, you know, it's obviously going in the Death and Taxes shells. And I was like, well, what does it really do? And then I was like, well, thinking about it, and I'm like, man, imagine like, putting this into play with a Vial and stuff like that, just shenanigans like, oh, in response to your Tarmogoyf that you think is going to keep you alive, I tap my Vial, put in Thalia, no fucking blocker for you, like the tempo advantage that you gain from your opponents, let's face it, all their lands. Like, they fetch, their fetch comes into play tapped. They get their shock, their dual land, it's a shock. It's worse than a shock. I mean, it just comes into play tapped.
Yeah.
So they're all...
Well, a shock land, though, actually kind of skirts this.
Right.
Because it can pay the cost to come into play untapped. Correct?
I'm not sure.
I would need a full judge rule.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it sees through the layers. Yeah, I'm not sure if it sees through the layers.
But, and I don't fully know the layer tree anymore. Right. At one time I did. Right. It's a waste of time to keep that knowledge in your head.
Nonetheless, the 3-2 first strike is a very reasonable body in most formats, and I think she can see play in any format you want to.
Yeah, clearly at death attacks, she's a lock.
Yeah, she's just gas. I mean, really puts them a turn and a half behind, and I think that's really good. That's where you want to be.
I agree with you. So, now I kind of coach our limited ones with some caveats. Cause, you know, you don't want to pick mythics for draft because you're not ever going to see them.
You can't have a reliable mythic draft strategy.
Yes. So, on draft, we decided to choose, Galvanic Bombardment. Or I'm sorry, you decided to choose that.
I did.
But the rules were it had to be an uncommon or common.
Right.
Okay.
So I really just wanted to pick the entire Escalate mechanic. But I know I can't do that, and I don't really have a favorite Escalate card because I don't know how they play out yet.
I do. I think the white one's going to be the
best. Yeah, but I don't like white, so.
Fair.
So what I did was I looked and I saw the set's pretty small for the most part, and Galvanic Bombardment is a fine removal spell at common, one mana instant, deals 2 damage the first time,
yep.
And then deals X plus 2. Yeah, X is, or so it deals 3 the next time, 4 the next time. It scales up for each copy you have. So let's say.
It's the Rune Snag effect.
Right. You're the Kindle effect. You're the guy who gets 4 copies of this card. Your fourth copy of Galvanic Bombardment is doing 4 damage and 5 damage even, and that's just.
And that's absurd.
It's for really, one really mana. Good. For one mana, it's really good. It's like, we're not talking about Scred here.
No, but we're talking about on turn 1. It's a shock.
It's a shock.
That's good in draft.
It's great.
Everyone's gonna take shocks in draft.
And this is a good shock format as well. It's not like we have a bunch of 4 butts running around. You know, 2 and 3 is fairly common. I mean, we'll see how your numbers work out.
Yeah, I'll get to that next week.
I mean, it looked to me, when I looked through the spoiler, it looked like a pretty small set.
Okay, I chose, Terrarian.
This card is the best.
And from initial looks, I haven't fully broke down the numbers yet, but from my initial looks, this looks slower than the last format.
I believe that.
And what this does is for one mana, you can put this thing into play. It enters tapped. Oh, darn. For 2 and tap, you sacrifice Terrarian, add 2 mana of any combination of colors to your mana pool.
Get your splash.
Okay, so that's not bad. Like, that's fairly, that's kind of a mid-level playable in a draft format type card, but then it has this last line, when it's put into the graveyard, you draw a card.
Right. So, fix your mana, draw a card. Chromatic Star effect.
Yes.
Yeah, like,
Chromatic Star is just good in every draft format I've ever played.
Right. At common, you're fixing your mana so you can take bolder picks. So
yes.
You can play more aggressively in the draft. Higher power level.
I will take 4 of these in a draft and not feel bad.
For sure. For sure. And like, I mean, drawing cards is always sweet, so it's a great way to do it.
I agree. So Mike chose the green card, Noose Constrictor, because Mike wants to play with snakes.
It's a fine card.
It is a good card. It is 1 and a green, reach, discard a card, Noose Constrictor gets +1/+1 until end of turn, and it's a 2/2 naturally for 2. So it's got it's a bear.
Yeah. It's a wild mongrel, dude, is what it really is.
It's a wild mongrel.
It's a wild mongrel.
And yeah, that's fine and limited.
Dude, remember how I was just talking how much about this set reminded me of Odyssey Block? Fucking Wild Mongrel.
Wild Mongrel, I mean, it goes
on. It's a reach snake.
The list goes on. Like, this is kind of a throwback set. There's a lot of cards in here that remind me of old Magic.
Mm-hmm. No, it's sweet.
To, you know, with no question.
Great design.
Mike chose, best sealed card. And he chose the black card, Crypt Breaker. Which I don't think is a big shock to me. He really likes this card. It's the 1 drop in black. 1/1. Discard a card, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield for 1 in black. Tap 3 untapped zombies you control. You draw a card and you lose 1 life.
I don't know that it's what I want in every sealed pool.
I don't think it's what I want in a sealed pool either.
It's a little hard to disrupt.
It's a 1/1. Or
a little easy
to
disrupt, rather, is what I mean to say.
In a sealed pool, you want something that, this is me talking, you know, the way I see it. I don't want now 4 of these in a deck is nuts, but I'm not going to get 4 of these. More likely, I'm going to get 1. I'm not going to get it on turn 1. And in the later turns, I don't know, man.
It does things, but I don't think it does enough. In a lot of situations, it's just going to be like a homunculus stitcher, you know, just like making a blocker every turn. And you have to discard cards for it. It's probably better in draft if you can get the zombies deck or the madness deck, but you know, I'm not real sure.
Yeah, I'll go with that. You chose red card?
I did. I chose Collected Defiance. This card does everything I want to do.
It's another Escalate card.
It's an Escalate card.
Dude, this mechanic is nuts.
I love the mechanic. So for one red sorcery, an Escalate cost is one. So it's five for all three modes. And I get to have target player discard all the cards in his or her hand, then draw that many cards. So all these fucking lands I don't need anymore, psh, gas. Collective Defiance deals four damage to target creature. It's good.
Or gas.
Collective Defiance deals three damage to target opponent.
Okay.
This card's great.
No, mind you, with these, you can't choose.
You can't choose them more than once. You can't nine your opponent.
You can't nine your opponent. I mean,
that would be the one.
That would be too good.
I paid seven mana to 16 my opponent.
Absolutely.
it doesn't pyroclasm, but it gets you out of a lot of bad situations.
I mean, four damage is going to be enough to kill most things.
Most things.
And limited. And, like you said, with the first ability, I mean, once you get, say you have seven mana on the board, mm-hmm. and you start stacking lands in your hand, if you know this is in your deck, you're going to be more than happy to continue to stack lands in your hand.
Right.
Because when you draw this, that could become seven cards.
This is kind of more of a hold your lands in hand format as well.
You figure out where your top is.
Give your opponent
your top.
Right. And then don't give a bunch of extras. There's not a ton of mana sinks, and there are a lot of cards that allow you to discard cards. And, you know, just having cards in hand makes you scared. So, yeah, I mean, I think this can get you out of a lot.
I agree. I think this is a very, very solid card for some sealed play. I chose the, in black, the Noosegraf Mob for four and two black. This thing will not see, like, standard play or anything, but I can see in a sealed game where this just takes over.
Whoa.
Noosegraf Mob enters the battlefield with 5+1/+1 counters. He's a 0/0, so he comes in as a 5/5.
That's great.
When a player casts a spell, you get to remove a +1/+1 counter from said mob. If you do, you get a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield.
So I can spend six mana for 10 power toughness worth of zombies?
Yeah. And the thing that I like about it is if they use a removal spell on it, you at least get a 2/2.
You at least get a 2/2.
I mean, it does leave something behind. Right. This is the type of card that if they don't have the immediate removal, over two turns of just natural play.
Right.
This thing's going to be a 3/3, and you're going to have two 2/2s on the board.
Absolutely.
And you're beginning to get wide on them, well, and that's just scary.
And as a 5/5, it's potential. I mean, it's big enough to block and kill almost everything.
Yeah, it puts him in a position where they have to play spells to shrink the thing, but at the same time, they just watch your board get bigger.
Right. It's a serious problem.
This is one of those cards. It's just like, okay, it's not, don't get me wrong, it's not rats, but nothing ever will be.
I hope not.
So let's see. Mike went first and you went first. Okay, it's my turn to go first. Best EDH card.
Clearly.
Yeah,
you got a winner there.
Did I don't know. Again, I don't play a lot of EDH. I picked the tree.
Well, that's because it can take 27 of their life away and become a 0/40.
Yes. It's a Tree of Perdition. It's a 0/13 defender. Exchange target opponent's life total with Tree of Perdition's toughness.
As a tap ability.
Yeah. For three in black.
Yeah, so you can set your deck up to be a one-shot deck.
Yes, you can, with Triska Decaphobia.
You just, either Triska Decaphobia, or you just play a general with equipment strategies to hit them once for 13. And I mean, you can do this very easily. You can tutor for this in a number of different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real...
Put on your lightning greaves, bang, 13.
It's exactly. Put on your lightning greaves, get it in there, get your general out the next turn, wham, 13. Like, it's not an impossible task.
So, yeah, there's that. Mike's choice was Deploy the Gatewatch, which Will talked about ad nauseum.
Yeah, I don't know that I want that in EDH. I don't have 40 copies of Planeswalkers in my 100-card deck.
You'd be shocked at how many people do run a lot of Planeswalkers in their deck.
I still don't think you can get two, though.
You might be able to, and then you chose...
I chose a blue card, Mind Dilation, which is a 7-mana enchantment.
Hell,
oh my god. Yeah. It says, when an opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. If it's a non-land card,
I may play that card without paying its mana cost. It's the best. What, it's your turn? Okay, cool. Play that. What am I playing?
Yeah.
But there's five guys at this table? Sweet.
I get to play on every, but you know the problem with that? On a large table, you never get to walk away for a cigarette.
Yeah.
Because you are playing on every turn.
That's definitely true. But you're playing every, I mean.
But you're playing the whole time.
Yeah, this card is gas.
I mean, you are paying attention to what is going on the entire time.
Don't miss triggers.
No. So then you got to choose best flavor.
Yeah.
And I love this card. This could have been my favorite standard card.
This card's really good.
It is.
It's like three mana path.
So three mana path.
So Imprisoned in the Moon, which is a wonderful way to put it, and what I guess that's how they got rid of Emrakul. They put him in the moon.
I guess, who knows?
They turned her into a land. That's great. So for two and a blue, I have an enchantment aura, and it says enchant creature, land, or planeswalker. That's a lot of permanent types.
I mean, the land one is not to be overlooked.
It's not. To just turn.
Like, think in modern, like, to the, like, Spreading Seas deck.
Exactly.
It adds this to it, and then it starts fucking your lands up too. Oh my god.
No. We have Enchanted Permanent is a colorless land with tap, add C to your mana pool. It loses all other card types and abilities. I mean, it literally.
Yeah, I put this on your Dark Depths.
Shit. Like, I mean, it kills a lot of stuff.
It does.
It kills planeswalkers, it kills creatures, and kills lands. Creatures. I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
Everything you want it to do.
Now, sometimes it will accelerate them. It is the path effect, but like that card is very good.
Yes. I chose a green card, and I'll explain why, for best flavor. And it was Grapple with the Past. And in the picture, it's an Eldrazi reaching down a well to grab a teddy bear.
That's very cute.
Okay, so what you need to do is you need to go look at Make a Wish.
Oh, I see.
I have it here to show Will. There's a little girl throwing a coin in with a bunch of things behind her, and she's holding that teddy bear.
That's so sweet.
She fell into the well, and this completes that story.
That's awesome.
That's great flavor. Make a Wish is from the original Innistrad set.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just beautifully done.
Wow.
Great flavor there. Absolutely love it. Thank you very much for that, whoever decided to do that.
Nice job.
So well done. Mike, for his best flavor, chose
Docent of Perfection. That's the upgraded,
Docent of Perfection.
The blue card. Yeah, it's the Delver upgrade. The final story of Deller. Delver.
Yeah, I mean, there's good flavor there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I like it.
That's the flip card.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like that. That's the end of Delver.
Right. And like, it has the Delver is in the cage and the insect is outside of the cage, which is the exact opposite of
the
original,
very first one. Yeah, like
art.
Really cool. So, you know, the poor guy's in the cage, the insect's outside, and it's
just making human wizard tokens.
And then it becomes the final iteration, but I think he wants the front side.
Yeah. No, it's sweet. I mean, another carryover through multiple sets of minor characters, which is one of the things I loved about Magic in the first place, was not just necessarily being about five planeswalkers, but about being about like Karvek and Mishra and, you know, all these guys.
And the Weatherlight, and just following their story.
Sweet and Gerard.
Yeah,
exactly.
So best art, we all chose the same one because Kitty Cat.
Because fucking Harmless Offering Kitty Cat. Yeah. Meow!
I mean, do we need to say any more than that? I mean, it's a Kitty Cat.
It's a Kitty Cat.
It's just a kitty cat. So, Will, what was your favorite card in this set?
Oh, man. I saw a card that reminded me of one of my all-time favorite decks. It is called Eternal Scourge, and it is a colorless card. It is a 3-mana Eldrazi Horror, which is a 3/3. And he says, I can cast him from exile. And he also says, when Eternal Scourge becomes the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, exile Eternal Scourge. So there was this
kind of like Blinking Spirit?
Well, Nether Spirit is what I was actually thinking of. So like, you built this deck that was Nether Spirit, and it says, if Nether Spirit's in your graveyard, you can play him out of your graveyard.
Yeah.
And you just put two Nether Spirits in the deck, one Cremate, and all spells, and it was just the best. So like, if you ever could build a deck that just wants a 3/3 every turn that can attack, if you can reliably counter and kill everything, yo. Eternal Scourge. I love it. I mean, I just love playing Magic that way.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. I went ahead and I chose Fortune's Favor.
Dude, this card's awesome.
And it's for 3 and a blue, instant. Target opponent looks at the top 4 cards of your library and separates them
into
a face-down pile and a face-up pile. Put one power into your hand and put the other into the graveyard. This is just, I mean.
It's factor fucking amazing is what it is.
Yeah, like, it's factor fiction, but fixed.
Yeah.
You know, because when you get to see both of them, you always got the right choice, and that wasn't cool. You know what I mean? So.
Banned.
So there's that, but now you kind of get to also play mind games.
Yeah, no, there are brutal mind games from this one where you just like show them three, like two really great cards and like face down two lands and they're like, I pick the box, clearly.
Yeah, like, do you take the box or do you go ahead and, you know, keep the cards that you see? And you're really going to have to be able, this brings table presence.
Right.
To the game in a way that I haven't seen in a long time. And it's been mechanical for a while.
Yeah.
And this type
table
of
presence
card,
is a great way to play
that. Yeah. This card really brings that to the game where, you know, bluffing's real now.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, for a while it hasn't been. Just, let's just be honest. You know, like people can just go, yeah, you ain't got it. So yeah, kind of absurd. I love it. I want to play it.
I will draft this card every time I get the opportunity.
I don't know if I will build a, constructed deck around it yet. But I will draft it. I will have fun with it.
I will build a constructed deck around that card at some point in time in my life. It might not be for a tournament, but like.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
that is like
for a tournament.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like sure. To play around here? Yeah, I'm absolutely going to build something for it. Just because it's fucking hilarious.
That's awesome.
Let's see. Mike chose Spirit of the Hunt. Mike really likes green.
He loves green.
I keep jumping to green for him, and, this is for 1 and 2 green.
Mm-hmm.
Flash.
Of course.
When Spirit of the Hunt enters the battlefield, each other creature you control that's a wolf or werewolf gets +0/+3 until end of turn. Mike has a thing for werewolves.
Dude, Splendid Reclamation, return all lands from your graveyard to the battlefield tab. That card is so sweet.
I expect this out of Mike. I mean, I don't want to, it's a favorite card, so there's nothing I can say right, that's right.
Mike likes wolves and werewolves.
He does, and there's nothing wrong with that. His, what was the next one is pack one, pick one.
Ooh.
Dream draft card. So you could choose any rarity here. He chose Gisella again. We talked about her. She's really good.
It's like the one with the biggest price tag.
Yeah. I mean, really good. Okay.
I guess you did too.
Well, I mean, I just literally want to play with this in
no
every
doubt,
format.
That card is sweet.
Will, you chose a green card, so
I did
we're
going
to go with
card.
Yours next cool. Because I don't have to click nothing.
I chose Ishkana, Graf Widow, which is a 4/5 mana, 3/5 legendary spider with reach.
You know what's sad? I hope this card doesn't see much play because I don't want to pronounce this very often.
So when Ishkana, Graf Widow enters the battlefield, if you have Delirium, put 3/1/2 green spider tokens with reach onto the battlefield. And then she says 7, one of which is a black mana. Target opponent loses 1 life for each spider you control. Like, dude, I remember the spider spawning deck, and this brings that flavor back
to
me.
Yeah, it really does.
And, man, 1/2 reach spiders are a real thing.
They are.
I don't think she's as good as spider spawning was, but.
No, but she's still a fun card. I'm not going to say she isn't. I chose Liliana the Last Hope.
Yes.
So it's 1 and 2 black, 3 loyalty, Planeswalker Liliana. Her +1 is up to 1 target creature gets, -2/-1 until end of turn. That's really good and limited.
Really good and limited. It's true.
The -2 is put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard. Then you may return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. In limited, I play with a bunch of creatures.
Remember that big creature you had to work really hard to kill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it back.
And in limited, you play with a bunch of creatures. So,
you play with a bunch of creatures.
You're going to use that effect. And yep. The -7, which I hope I get to use this in limited.
you will never lose. Dude, no one's ever going
to
let you have that emblem.
It responds to a scoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's you get an emblem with, at the beginning of your end step, put X22 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield where X is 2 plus the number of zombies you control.
So it loses 2 zombies a turn forever.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see, I mean, because they might be able to deal with the first 2, they might stick around.
Right.
So I might actually get to play with the emblem for a little bit.
Maybe.
But I think most people were just going to go to scoop phase.
Yeah. Like if you get to the 4 to 8 to 16 zombies playing, that's not the win.
Okay. So I will go ahead and put my foot in my mouth first. This is the worst card in this set. Okay. I chose Emrakul's Influence. Well, Emrakul's Influence is for 2 and 2 green. It's an enchantment. Whenever you cast an Eldrazi creature spell with converted mana cost 7 or greater, you get to draw 2 cards. This is the biggest win more that I've ever seen.
I don't actually think so.
Dude, when I'm casting an Eldrazi that costs 7 or more, I'm planning on winning with that.
Not in this format. In this format, what's the mechanic we're using to get them out, where you sacrifice creatures?
Okay, yeah.
So like,
I guess that's fair.
I looked at this card and I was like, oh my god, this card is fucking terrible. And I'm like, wait a minute, like,
there's
sacrifice a creature, get a guy for cheap, draw 2 cards, like, I know it's not great. I know it's not. But, I bet you John Kemp could draft an Emrakul's Influence deck that would work.
I think that this is a skill tester.
I think this is a skill tester. I think you can find
a person in your store who drafts this every time. He's probably the worst player.
He's probably bad. I think though that you can use this card successfully.
That's the problem though. When we say worst card nowadays, I think most cards can be usable.
It's really tough. Your card is very bad, Angelo.
Yes.
Your card is very bad.
Mike chose the blue card, Contingency Plan.
Ooh.
So let's take a look at what this is.
This card is not very good.
And it's, for 1 and a blue, look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may put any number of them into your graveyard and the rest back on top of your library in any order. Here's the strange thing. I can see me using this.
I can see me using this card too.
Just to manipulate my library. I mean,
you know what it's really good at? Getting you Delirium in a Hurry.
Getting you Delirium in a Hurry and limited.
Getting rid of all the lands.
Drawing
in the
card that you need the next turn. Right. Like, if in a limited game where I have a 40 card deck and I go 5 deep to look for an answer, I expect to get said answer.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least get, you know, much closer to answer.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I can see me using it, but again,
it's not a great card.
It's not a great card.
Nope, it's not. So it's a bad card.
It's a bad card. They're all bad cards. We're naming. And then you chose a red card.
I did. I like a lot of the red cards. This is not one.
This
that
was
I
not
like.
One of them that tickled your fancy, huh?
Mm-mm.
Where is it?
Shreds of Sanity is a 3 mana red sorcery.
Yes.
And it says, okay, check this out, guys. Here's the value. Return up to 1 instant card and up to 1 instance or into up to 1 sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. Then discard a card.
So I can return this?
No, because you exile this when you
cast. Oh, see, that wouldn't be bad if I could return this. Too.
Yeah, so like, okay, so let's say I top decked this in the late game. and I fortunately have an instant or sorcery card in my graveyard.
Spreading Flames is in the graveyard.
Doesn't even fuck up my Delirium to get them out of the graveyard.
Okay.
So I draw 2 and discard 1 at random.
And then your Spreading Flames ends up back in the graveyard where it started.
That's
doable. Like, this happens.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to win too many games where you cast this. I'm just going on a limb here.
I don't think so either.
I'm definitely not building a Shred of Sanity deck. I have no desire to try and build. I mean,
you know, I probably will at some point.
Okay, well, let me know how it goes.
If I draft this set as much as I've drafted some sets in the past, I get to the point where it's just like, eh, fuck it, let's try it.
Yeah.
I don't think this is something I'm going to try week 1.
I could see like a black, red, heavy madness deck.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll pay 5, get a madness card to my hand, and use a madness card again. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
and it's only 1 instant, 1 sorcery. Like, it's so restrictive.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Very.
It's tough, dude.
So, that's our best ofs for this set, and worst of, apparently. And that's what we got to.
Yeah, it was the best at being the worst.
Yeah. We'll come back in 6 months or whatever, and we'll know within the next 2 to 3 months. You'll hear us bragging.
Yeah, there'll either be brags or people making fun of others.
There will be that.
Yes.
There's going to be that regardless of what happens. Like, that's just
a fact.
That's just a fact. So, but we're going to take a real quick break and we will return in a moment to talk about Pokemon Go. All right. So the nice people down at Titan Game Shop was nice enough to donate to us an MTG Mox Cube, which we are going to raffle off. There's going to be a couple ways that you can enter into this raffle, but for every $2 that you go ahead and put in, you will receive 1 entry. For every $10 you put in, you'll receive 7. This is a roughly, you can find them on the internet for about $90. So it's a pretty nice, gift. What the Mox Cube is it is a huge box, basically. It's a storage box, but it is like the perfect thing to keep your personal cube in. I hope that we get a lot of people who jump in on this. The ways that you can enter are as follows. You can send a direct email if you have a PayPal account to pitimppodcast@gmail.com. And as soon as you send that email, I will, you know, write down who you are on a piece of paper and throw it into the huge cookie jar, I guess you could call it, candy jar, which we're going to shake up live on the air. If you don't have PayPal, you can go to twitch.tv/pit_imps. And there's a huge imp on that page. You just click on that imp. You can go ahead and donate that way. I'll receive a record that you did donate. Again, I will get a piece of paper. I'll rip it up. I'll put your name on it. It'll go into the cookie jar / candy jar thingy majoo. We're going to go ahead and, choose the name live on the air at twitch.tv/pit_imps. And I think we're going to let this raffle go until the end of July. So it'll be like the first episode in August is when we will, go ahead and pull our winner. So, please, this is a great way to support the show, and you might get something out of it. If we get enough people, I'm going to throw in some playmats. I know I have a Titan Game Shop playmat I can throw in, and I also have multiple other playmats from going to multiple GPs over the years that I can throw in as well. So if we get enough people, it won't just be one person getting a prize. I will actually give them out to like three people. So please, 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 if you can, help support the show by doing this, and, you know, who knows, you might get something cool out of it. Now back to the show. We have returned gloriously.
It was glorious.
It's funny, too, because as soon as I muted everything and took the break, somebody rings my doorbell.
It's literally perfect timing.
Yeah, like, we couldn't have timed that better. So we will talk a little bit about Pokemon Go. I was planning on Mike being here.
Right.
So, and me and Mike have been playing a lot of Pokemon Go. I think we're both level 15 or higher.
I think you should. I mean, when I saw the previews for the game, I thought the game looked fantastic.
When I first saw it, I didn't. Literally, that was my response to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something about, I grew up playing Pokemon. Like everybody else did. And anybody who has a smartphone looks at their smartphone while they're playing Pokemon and goes, why can't I do this on this?
Right.
And now all of a sudden you can do that on that.
You get to have the thrill of exploration.
Yeah.
And a video game to back it all up. It's really a complete package.
And people call it hidden, aspect to the game, but it's really not hidden. Like, it is the heart of the game is exercise.
Right. Exercise. Yeah, go out and walk places.
You know, like, it keeps track of what you're doing walking. Like, mm-hmm. I know that Saturday and Sunday alone, I put in 14 kilometers walking.
That's great.
And I haven't walked like that in a long time. So it is getting me out of the house and making me exercise, and that's good.
That's
like,
great.
There's nothing bad about that. Nothing bad comes out of exercising. So
that's a fact.
I'm really happy that it does that. And the coolest part of this game so far, Will, and you know, I wish you had a better phone so you could join in.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, phone and data plan and all that whole nine yards.
Yeah. It's mainly data plan, I know, but, mm-hmm. The main thing that this game has done to me is it reminds me when I was a kid, when we was playing Street Fighter and there was no internet. So you'd have three people call you and go, hey, you want to play Street Fighter? Yeah. And everyone would meet at someone's house.
Right. And there'd be six kids in the house passing the controller off playing Street Fighter.
Yeah, just playing Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. It was a reason to hang out with your buddies.
Right. Yeah, you're doing a lot of social Pokemon Go.
Yeah, like, I'm hanging out with friends, and honestly, it's been a long time since I've just randomly had reasons to hang out with friends.
It's true.
It has
been very difficult for a while.
And to be real honest, like, I mean, that's kind of what Magic has been, mm-hmm. but that's one day a week.
Right.
You know, the other 6 days a week, there really isn't much for me to do.
Right.
And I'm stuck in the house, and it's like, you know, I love my wife, don't get me wrong, but
I'd like to go out and do something.
Yeah, I want
to have something to do that doesn't cost money.
Yeah, there was times where literally I would sit here and just go, do I really have any real friends? Because I'm bored and there's nothing to do and I don't know who I would call right now because I don't want to bother anybody. And
that's
now that there's the Pokemon thing going on, though, I can text anyone and go, hey, you want to go for a Pokewalk?
Yeah.
And either they say yes or no. And if they say yes, they swing down, we go for a Pokewalk.
It is. I mean, you do have to play Pokemon in order to do this.
You'd be shocked at the number of my friends, though you wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be. I know.
The number of my friends who play Pokemon, this is...
I would make fun of them for doing it. I would do it too, but
if
I would,
you could.
But I would feel bad about it. Like, I would definitely have feel bads from playing Pokemon.
Yeah, I have no feel bads whatsoever.
Well, that's good.
I mean, if you want to give me feel bads, you can suck a bag of Pokemon.
No, it's good. I think that everything about the game is great.
Yeah.
I think that it is a, just a, awesome success on every single level.
Nintendo stock Monday morning had rose $9 billion.
After the release of this?
It came out Thursday. Yeah. 5 days, dude.
It's
everywhere.
It's an amazing product. It does everything. Like, there is nothing that anyone can complain about. The parents love it because there's exercise.
Yeah.
The only problem that I could potentially see about it is that the fouler aspects of society could use this as
It already has happened.
Yeah.
Somebody grabbed the game.
Right.
I believe this was in Wisconsin. They dropped a lure at a Pokestop. And what that does is everyone in your area can see that you dropped this lure.
Mm-hmm.
When this lure is down at the Pokestop for a half an hour, Pokemon show up there at an accelerated rate.
Right.
So everybody drives or runs to this Pokestop.
Wow.
And these guys were waiting with guns to rob them.
Wow.
And part of me, the old school part of me, goes, that's fucking genius.
That's a great plan.
But then there's another part of me that goes, that's really fucked up.
That's not, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that guy.
It's a good app.
I recommend you
jump in if you can.
It looks great.
It's funny because it has created three fucking street gangs out of nerds, which is hilarious because everyone has to pick a team. You pick either Valor, Mystic, or Instinct, right? Mm-hmm.
And which one is your team?
I'm Mystic.
What about Dave?
Dave is Mystic as well. Mm-hmm. Mike is Valor.
Of course you would.
And Instinct is just a bunch of mouth breathers. So, and I say that because, you know, Instinct, let's breathe.
Yeah, I think Mystic is where I'd be too.
Yeah, Mystic is probably where you'd be.
Now, how many Pokemon are in the game?
There's the Kanto region. So the original 150.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumors that there is a 151st yet right now, mm-hmm. but nobody can confirm it yet.
Okay.
So there might be Mew, who knows. But yeah, it's like Pokemon Red.
Cool.
Those 150 cool. that are on there.
Yeah, which lives them unlimited room for patches and expansions. Yeah, this game,
trust me, they're going to put out a new one.
And it's free to download?
Free to download.
Now, is it one of those micro purchases?
You can do the micro purchases, right. but just by going to a Pokestop,
mm-hmm.
you get free items.
Cool.
So if you do walk around, you never have to buy anything. There's a spot in a local town, Beaver, where me, Dave, and a couple other guys, Kyle, what have mm-hmm. you, we were walking around it today. It's two parks right next to each other. There's 11 Pokestops between the two parks. It takes 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes, you can collect on the same Pokestop. Mm-hmm. Okay? By the time you do the circle around the park, those ones have reset.
Yeah.
So you can do that. So
it's literally the same farming loop that you would go through in WoW, except instead of using WASD on your keyboard, yeah. you're using your fucking arms and legs.
Yeah, have you ever played Ingress?
For sure.
It uses the exact same thing.
Yeah, I've been talking just,
with Pokemon.
To Dave about this for a while.
It's pretty awesome.
I've been very informed on it. People have been, you know, talking because I travel a lot.
Yes.
You know.
You and, being in the woods, dude, this thing would be just the
Now, do they put Pokemon in the
everywhere,
woods?
Everywhere. Dude. Everywhere.
Yeah, that's sweet.
As long as Google Maps can reach you and your phone has service, you can get something.
I may have to check it out and see if it's feasible because it does sound fun and it is nice to have a reason to hang out with people and it would be really good for me to walk 5 miles every fucking day.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it'd get you back on that. And you know, it's weird the people that, okay, so like me and Kyle have been going for walks. Mm-hmm. I never thought of Kyle as somebody to go on a walk with.
Well, you give him a video game to make walking a goal.
It, dude.
You know,
we walk.
Ultimately, it rewards you for doing the right thing, which is great.
Yep, exercise. But now we're getting to the real what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Will, what the hell you been up to? Mike has been up to crashing, just putting that out there.
Not a lot.
He hasn't been up to driving very well.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, haven't been working a whole lot. I've worked like 3 days in 3 weeks.
That sucks.
Well, it's July and not a whole lot schedules in July, and I didn't know that ahead of time. Yeah. So
everything has their seasons, and July is one where you don't get a lot of rain.
Right.
And the wind is low.
Right.
So you don't get a lot of dust on mm-hmm. windows.
Yep.
It's just strange.
It's a spring and fall thing, so. Yeah. You know, just gonna wait it out till August and start doing Pittsburgh Public Schools then. So I'm just kind of like doing that thing where, you know, you're not making money and it's always stressful. So that sucks.
I know what you're going through. Trust me.
But I've been hanging around the house more. I've been fucking around on my tractor. I'm working on the lawnmower deck and doing work on the garden. And
is your tractor sexy?
Liz thinks it is.
Liz, yeah. She thinks your tractor's sexy.
Yeah, for sure. She loves the tractor. So I just like doing stuff like that. Got my car inspected. Working on getting Liz's car inspected. Hopefully it's gonna pass tomorrow. Or think we're gonna get the old backdoor fucking A-OK approval.
Yeah, dude. Fingers crossed. I can't drive my car right now.
I know. It sucks.
Okay, because I live in Beaver County.
I know. That's the same reason.
It's emissions.
It's the same reason for Liz's. She has a catalytic converter sensor that's going on.
Yeah.
So.
And it would pass literally 5 minutes away from my house.
Yeah.
If I live there, and it pisses me off.
I know.
And I know if you're going through the same thing, I know you get it.
Yeah. No, just kind of dealing with stuff that's like nagging stress and not super fun, but, D&D's going pretty well and, playing the Final Fantasy game on the phone, playing, actually quite a bit of Hearthstone on Liz's phone. She went ham and disenchanted some stuff and she built Sylvanas and, what's the guy who gets all the death rattle guys back? Holy shit, that thing is insane.
Oh, the 9-7?
The 5-7 for 10.
Yeah.
Resummon all death rattle minis?
Oh yeah, he is nuts.
Dude, it's absurd. I've been playing a lot of like that guy mirrors, like Nog or whatever the fuck his name is. Yeah, of course Mike can't drive his car. He couldn't drive it before and that's why it's in the condition.
Yeah.
You like get in these weird places where like you're 5 or 6 cards deep in attrition and like someone someone inevitably like gets that warrior guy who shuffles a bomb into your deck somehow.
Yeah. You know?
I've had like 3 priest mirrors end that way and I'm like, what? Like priest?
What the fuck? So,
yeah, it's fun though.
Yeah, Nazoth priest is really good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're playing.
It's
right
a tier deck. I've been goofing around a little bit on Hearthstone, just playing mage and, I've been playing, shaman token or not shaman token,
Is it Druid Token?
Druid Token.
Dude, I love the Druid Token deck. I built that, man. I love that deck.
I've been playing Druid playing Token. Standard. Like, I'm liking it right now.
Oh, dude, that deck's sweet. You're just so like, good. 7 mana, +2/+2 my team, yo. Getcha. Overrun. It's still real.
But strangely, I'm still on the Skyrim thing a little bit.
Nice.
And with that and the Pokemon, I haven't had much time for
that's great though, man. Hearthstone. So you have something that's very engaging at home to kill time.
Yes.
You have something to get you out and kill time, which is good because you and I were both in the holding pattern right now. Just waiting for something better to happen.
Which was funny because the dude who showed up at my door actually showed up at my door for work.
Hey, that's great.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, that's great for you. Congratulations.
I mean, I haven't had work very often recently.
I know, man.
So
I know it.
That's
tough.
Kind of a big deal.
So what have you been up to?
I mean, just kind of those things. It's like Pokemon, the Skyrim, the work. I went out. Okay, so check this out. I get this call from this lady, an hour away. Okay. I'm like, okay, what's your address? She gives me your address. I'm like, okay, cool. She wants me to come out and write up a proposal for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I go out and, I take down all the statistics and measurements and everything that I need to. And I'm walking around this house going, I've been here before. I know I've been here before. And finally, I look at her and I go, all this landscaping, is it about 8 years ago you had it done? And she goes, yeah, I planted every one of these shrubs. She's like, no. I was like, did you have it done from Vance's Landscape? She went, yes, I did. I said, that was absolutely
that was
me. I planted every one of your shrubs.
Funny. Yeah, because you know every plant you plant.
And
you
the bad thing
it.
Is, like, it's in Butler, PA, which is about an hour away.
Yeah.
Okay. I've only did one job working for Vance's in Butler.
That's funny.
And it was this lady.
That's hilarious.
So, like, I did the proposal. I sent everything out. And, like, she was really excited about the price I gave her and everything else. She goes, okay, all I need to convince my husband to do this is I need some pictures of other work you've done.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. So I contact some – because I don't usually take pictures when I'm subcontracting for somebody.
Right.
So I contacted some of the people I'd been doing some subcontracting work for, and I asked them if I could use some pictures, if they could send me some.
Mm-hmm.
And they said no.
Mm.
I had about 3 different people tell me no.
Yeah,
and I said, well, it'd be unethical for me to go out and just grab these, and I'm all about being straight up with people.
Right.
So I told him it'd be unethical for me to go out and grab these pictures, so you're just going to have to make a choice blind, unfortunately.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to get it now because of that. And it's really a shame. Like I had it figured out at about $1,400 worth of work.
That's a nice.
I would have profited probably about $800.
Yeah, that's a nice amount of work
for about 3 days.
Yeah, that's a sick week.
So I mean, I'm a little upset that I probably won't get that one. But
hopefully, it goes well for you.
That's what being in charge of a business is,
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah, that's what I've been up to. That was kind of my cool story of the week, Mike's been up to taking drugs because he's all hot up now.
Yeah, I bet he is. Like an excuse to be on drugs.
Right. Shout outs. I do have a shout out I do want to give, to one of our listeners and a friend.
Yeah, I love Chris Hafner. That guy's awesome.
Chris Hafner, he won in IQ.
Holy shit.
So, you know, he is qualified for the Invitational for SCG. Wow. Congratulations to him. Shout out to him for
great
that.
Great job. Yeah, it was modern events. So I'm guessing he played
in fact. Yeah.
I mean, I have been talking for about a year now that I think that this kid's a really good player.
He's a good player.
And if he ever completes his magic game, he's going to be a really scary dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I can agree with all that. I think he's a good player. Occasionally he can rub you a little strange. But
I mean, he's a 17-year-old kid, right? He's not even 18 yet. We're all weird at that point in time. You give this guy 10 years, let him develop into a coming on 30-year-old man who's been playing Magic for that long.
Oh, he's going to be so
dude,
good.
He's going to be the man.
Yeah.
He's absolutely going to be on the man. I'm going to get on this guy's nuts now.
Yeah, he just needs to get off of the fast decks, the red and the other things.
Well, look, I mean, if that's what you like, that's what you like. I mean, there are people who have had stylistic playstyles the whole time.
Absolutely.
But you have to complete your whole game so that you can be a well-rounded limited player.
Yeah. That's the only thing he really needs to shore up, but congratulations to him. I hope
good
he does well with the IQ.
Good dick to you, man. Great job.
Go crash that thing and rock it up, dude. Will, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do so?
You know what? They should probably come here next Tuesday.
Okay.
When I say here, I mean fucking twitch.tv.pit_imps. And, they should come here like next Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they'll get to like look at the bra I'm wearing all fucking night. Yeah.
If you wanted to get a hold of Mike, own a tow truck.
Oh, own a tow truck, he says.
If you want to get a hold of me, get a hold of me, Gongsuo on Twitter, that's GANKSUOU. Same thing on Hearthstone, but at 1322 to the end of it.
Yeah, there you go.
You can get a hold of you on Hearthstone, can't
they? Yeah, it's, Safyra, S-A-F-Y-R-A, I think it's 1519 or 13 and something. I don't
something,
know the number.
Yeah. Safyra, look.
Yeah.
Just keep punching numbers in until somebody says, yeah, that's me.
That'll work.
It's only four number combinations, it can't be too hard.
Yeah, it's something. It's got a one on the front of it even, so.
Yeah, it's like, you only gotta figure out three numbers. Yeah. It's like playing the lottery.
Yeah, there you go.
What's the daily? So yeah, that, and, you can get hold of me at pitimpodcast@gmail.com. Please join me this week. I will be at the pre-release at midnight, Friday night, Saturday morning, however you want to call it, at 12:01 Saturday morning, a.m. We will be streaming from Titan Game Shop Live, the pre-release. And I'll be doing that again. Please join me if you are not going to be doing your own pre-release at that time. And maybe you can get a little heads up on what to do for your pre-release.
Yeah, there you
you'll
go.
See what's good. Obviously, next week, we're just going to have pre-release stories, and I should have by the numbers.
Oh, that would be great.
That's the plan. It's a lot of work for me to put
down.
We'll
see. I mean, if you're busy with work, I'll understand.
Yeah, but I'm gonna try to have by the numbers ready for next week to go along with our pre-release stories, so that should be a good show. The by the numbers people seem to like.
I love the by the numbers. I absolutely do.
So, until next week.
Mike, man, be careful.
Yeah, please.
Fuck it all.
Just be careful, Mike. Have a good one, folks, and go fuck yourself.